I hope this isn't a letdown from that. I mean, all you have to do is listen to that when we talk about our subject today is, I believe God is good. How can that come from anything but God? The feeling, the playing, you just knew that there was something in there, and great job, great job. Why I believe in God, and why is God good? When I was growing up, I always believed that there was a God. How could all that's around me come from something other than a gracious and loving God? I always wondered what it would be like to talk to God and how he could hear me when I could not hear his voice. We did not grow up in an organized church, but was taught a lot of the basic principles. We did not have much, but was taught to be happy with those things that we did have. As a young boy, I would go out at night after it was dark, look up into the sky and wonder, what's up there? All the stars. Where exactly is heaven located? Lay back and wonder when God would talk to me. I learned years later that God is always talking to me. I just have to listen. When you look at all the things going on around us, it's easy to ask, why would God let bad things happen in this world? To me, the family that loses a child, a family member, mother or father, and we think that it is before their time, but we forget that it is God's time, not our time. Forgot my place here. I know that I will see those that are no longer with us in the next life. All we need to do is look around at the things that are going on in this world to realize that God is good. For me, it's my wife Cheryl, my sons, my daughter-in-laws, our grandkids, our church, our community, and our nation. When you look into the smiling, happy, inquisitive, beaming faces, deep down in your heart, you can feel God is good. Romans verses 6-8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in the portion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. We all have different talents and gifts that God has given us to use each day. I used to think, why is this person coming to talk to me as a manager, supervisor, about their personal problems? At first, I would try to give brief answers and wanted to move on to the list of things that I needed to get accomplished that day. Later, I realized that was not what I needed to be doing by the small voice inside me. As Cheryl and I would talk at night about our work day, after dinner was done, the boys bathed and in bed, we realized both of us had people coming to us. They just needed to have someone to listen to them and give them some direction. God was speaking to me all the time. All I had to do was listen. John 12:26 says, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. God has shown me that mission is his hand, doing good for people who need help. On a trip to Louisiana after Katrina with our Salinas church, I thought at the time how great that would be to go and help. I was overwhelmed with the love of the people of the community there and with their generosity of meals, their warmth of just praying together at the beginning and end of each workday. I knew God was there with us, and if anyone had any doubts, on Monday of the first day that we worked, we stopped for lunch, and the local church bells started to play a hymn. And every day at noon, we got a different hymn. Our group realized that we received more than we gave in that act of helping. When we visit the Salvation Army shelter, all one needs to do is look into the faces of the volunteers to know that God is in each and every one of them, doing His work and caring for those that need assistance. Whether it's our 99-year-old Tom Hagen or our youngest volunteer standing beside their mom and dad, God is at work, and God is good. Thank you.
When I came in the door, I was kindly greeted by Diane Hoagland, who optimistically thanked me for speaking this morning. I said, not so quick. So, welcome to Amateur Hour, our 7 minutes. Not Dave. Dave, that was very well done, very good message. And Roy, man, that was amazing. And now we have to use words. So the question is, why do I believe God is good? And I want to try to answer this very directly. I believe God is good because I know it to be a fact. In my view, for me, this is not an opinion. An opinion is a provisional conclusion which should be subject to continual reevaluation and revision as needed. But this is, to me, is not an opinion, it's a fact. And that's important because when we know something to be a fact, it's easy to believe. It's very simple. This is not a belief that I have to hope and try to believe. It's easy because I know it's a fact. Okay, that begs the question. I haven't really answered it yet, have I? How do I know it to be a fact? Basically, my evidence comes from two sources, the scriptures and my own experience. And we have to be careful about looking to our experience, our personal experiences, for insight into truth. We must always let scripture illuminate our understanding of our personal experiences. So, I'll start with experiences. The beauty of nature, we've all had those moments when we looked up at the night sky and saw the stars. David speaks of that in the Psalms. We have all had those moments when we looked at the sunset or the sunrise or a thousand other beautiful scenes and moments in nature. Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made." So God's invisible attributes are made visible in the beauty and grandeur of nature. I think we're all familiar with that experience. Another experience that I've had is that God has been with me in trouble. And it's kind of paradoxical to look to times of trouble as evidence of God's goodness, but that's how it works. I have known God to be with me in troubles, to protect me from harm and danger, to provide for our needs, and to comfort and reassure. And I know that many, if not all of you, have had the same experience. Romans 8:28 explains this. It says, "God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose." And I've seen that work out in my experience. God has given me good things, and Dave mentioned this too. I'm just repeating what he said, but my wife, my kids, our church, a wonderful place to live, a work I enjoy, on and on and on. And then let's look at the gospel, the grace of the gospel. This is an amazing evidence of God's goodness. God freely gives us the gift of righteousness. It's free to us, but it was costly to him. The gift of righteousness, it comes in, as I see it, two components. One is the forgiveness of sin, and the other is the deliverance from the power of sin into the power of the Holy Spirit, and living by the power of the Holy Spirit. And these are gifts that God makes available to us freely if we will only choose to receive them. That's goodness. And then there are those moments of communion with the Holy Spirit. One of the little boys here this morning said something deeply profound. He said, people who don't know God don't know how sweet his love is. That's an amazing thing for a little kid to say. He's obviously experienced this. That's not a lesson a rote lesson that he was repeating. And we've had those moments of communion with the Holy Spirit where his presence is palpable. You can feel his compassion. You can feel his peace. You can feel his joy, his reassurance and encouragement. You can feel his compassion for other people, all without words. But his spirit mingles with ours, and we feel his presence. This kind of personal experience doesn't fall into the category of empirical evidence, something you can show someone else, an experiment that someone else can repeat if they just follow your directions. Although to some extent that can be true. And scientists tend to disregard evidence that's not empirical. But I strongly believe that our personal experience is valid evidence, and it certainly is meaningful to me. Now I want to turn to Scripture, a few evidences in Scripture. You could go through the Scriptures, and you could spend years going through all of the citations that show the goodness of God, but we'll try and cut that back a little bit here. Psalm 34:8, already been quoted. Taste and see that the Lord is good. An invitation to experience God as goodness. So if you don't know that God is good, King David from 3,000 years ago invites you to taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Nice little Sunday school lesson, very, very simple. But it's profound. This is the fundamental character of God. This is the primary component of his regard for us, his relation to us. God is love. That governs everything. And then Matthew 22:37-40, some priests asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Probably a really interesting question in their environment. And they were curious to see if he'd give a good answer or an answer that they could debate. His answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second one, they didn't ask him what's the second one, but he couldn't separate them. And the second one is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the first commandment, the greatest commandment. On that commandment to love God is built all of the religion of the Jews of the Old Testament and all of the Christian religion. All of our Christian religion is about how to fulfill that command to love God. And the fact that this is what matters to God, that we love him. He didn't say obey God or go to church every Sunday. He said, love the Lord your God and other people. That tells me how important love is to God. It tells me that He loves us. And I believe God is good because He loves us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life and not perish. And that's love. God gave His only begotten Son. Okay, gave His only begotten Son rolls off the lips very easily, but we know what that means, right? He gave His only Son to be tortured to death at the age of 33. That He did for us. That is God being good to us. And then you look at the gospel's mode of operation, the gospel being the good news of how God has provided a way for us to be delivered from sin and reconciled to Him. The gospel's mode of operation is all goodness. It's all pure goodness. The mode is grace and mercy and loving kindness. That's how the gospel works. It's not scolding. It's not punishment. It's goodness. So what kind of goodness is God's goodness? I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but I think it's an interesting question. Is there a catch, in other words? Is it some form of higher goodness, a higher form of goodness that maybe I'm not really interested in here and now? I'll just be real brief. No, it's not. It's the kind of goodness you're interested in. It's everyday goodness. So let me wrap up by reading a few verses from Psalm 103, which I think eloquently summarizes all that I'm trying to say here this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. God is good. It's a fact. Thank you.